You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
I hate to interrupt, but could I have some foundation as to exactly which one of these guests was that talking about that?
Mr. Wigson.
Thank you. Awesome question, Judge. So you just mentioned this gift about power over the elements. Do you recall for the jury, who was it at this meeting that had those types of powers?
Zulema.
Were there any other special powers that were mentioned at the meeting?
That I can recall, no. I remember Alex was either knew or he was told that he was the angel that came to stop Laman and Lemuel when Nephi was being smitten.
Is that an LDS reference?
Yes.
What did Alex think about that or say about that particular belief?
He felt good because he was doing something good. He felt good that he was a good guy.
And during that meeting, did Chad ever discuss with you any role that he might want you to have in this gathering?
At that time, I don't think he did. I think it was for me just to get acquainted.
Okay. Did you have any discussions with him about your reaction to some of those things that were being taught?
Yes.
What discussion did you have with him about that?
If somebody's going to have the position to call the 144,000, that I felt like that would be a prophet of God that would have that responsibility.
Is it fair to say that you didn't believe that Chad was a prophet of God at that point?
No.
At any point?
No.
So did you tend to agree with some of those teachings that Chad was engaging in that day?
Judge, I'm going to object to the characterization.
I can respond.
Oh, it's overruled. Go ahead.
Did you have any disagreement? I'm sorry. Let me withdraw that. You can ask the question if you remember what it was.
I'm sorry. Whoops.
I'll re-ask it. Did you agree or disagree generally with the things that Chad and others were teaching at that meeting?
I disagreed.
Do you remember specifically, besides the issue of a prophet, anything else that you disagreed with?
They did. They talked about Satan having power to push people out of their bodies and taking possession of them. And then the person's spirit would be stuck in limbo. They couldn't go forward because the body was still alive.
Did you discuss that teaching with Chad at all?
Yeah, I just said Satan was never allowed that power because that's something he wanted to do from the beginning. And God put a boundary there so that he could not do that.
So you didn't believe these things. Is that
no.
fair? Okay. During that meeting, did you notice anything about the way Chad and Lori interacted with one another?
They seemed really close. I mean, they were, you know, they were really friendly with one another.
When you said really close and friendly, could you describe that more for the jury?
Well, I just noticed when Lori brought the food to the table, she kind of leaned on him as she put his plate down.
What did that indicate to you?
Affection?
Or speculation.
Judge,
sustained.
Did you notice anything else about their behavior that indicated to you anything about their relationship?
No.
Had you ever met Lori before that meeting?
No.
And was there another time that you interacted with Mr. Daybell?
Yes.
When do you recall that occurring?
It was September of 2019.
And what was that occasion?
I was at Lori's house to do a podcast with Lori and Melanie. And so I was there for that weekend and Chad came over.
When you said you were at Lori's house, where was that at?
It was in Rexburg.
Did you get invited to come?
Yes.
And were you in Idaho for any other reason at that point?
We had just moved my son up to Pocatello, Idaho. So I was coming up to see them and I was coming up for the Book of Mormon Evidence Conference. And then and Melanie and Lori had been wanting to do a podcast. And so I just kind of made a weekend of it. My plan was to stay in a hotel in Idaho Falls to be in between both places. But Melanie invited me and said, Lori said, stay here. Don't need to put money in a hotel. We got an extra room for you. So.
And that was in reference to Lori's place?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes for the record?
Yes. Okay.
And can you describe Lori's place that you went and stayed at so the jury has an understanding of the layout?
It was when you walked in, there was a living room and a kitchen, just one room, and then a stairs on the right that went up to the bedrooms and bathrooms.
And you, when you arrived, who do you recall being at her apartment?
Lori and Alex and Melanie.
What about children? Were there children there?
JJ.
Did you have any occasion to interact with JJ when you arrived there?
Yes, I tried a couple of times. He was sitting on the couch playing games, and so I tried to just get to know him a little bit, but he was pretty into his game.
Did he respond to you then, or
no?
And do you have any special needs children yourself, Mr. Ward?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I have a Down syndrome boy with autism.
Hold on. There's a pending objection. I haven't ruled. It's
relevant. Sustained.
Judge, may I argue?
No, sustained, Mr. Wixom.
Okay. Did you have any further interaction with JJ at that point?
Just one more time. He was he had a box and he was cutting windows and doors in it, making a little toy house out of a cardboard box.
Did you try to talk to him on that occasion?
I did.
Any interaction with him then?
No.
I think you already mentioned Chad was at this meeting or gathering.
He showed up at least two or three times. He was kind of in and out.
Do you recall what span of time were you staying at Lori's apartment on this occasion?
Friday night through Monday morning.
So roughly 3 days?
Yes.
So when you said that Chad was in and out, approximately how many times was Chad coming over that you recall?
I can recall twice for sure. It may have been a third time, but it's...
When he came, how long would he stay?
Maybe a half hour to an hour. It was never long.
Did you have any conversations with Chad while he was there?
Yes, I did.
And Judge, could I have some foundation as to when these meetings supposedly took place?
Wixom.
Certainly. When do you recall, the best you can, by month and year, that you were at Lori's house on this occasion?
Sorry, repeat the question.
The best you can remember, can you let the jury know what month and year were you at Lori's house on this occasion?
Oh, September 2019.
And so, back to the question about Chad. What do you remember talking to Chad about when he
first... Judge, again, I'm going to renew my foundation. We don't know which day of the week we're talking about since this was a four-day weekend.
Well, I think that's more appropriate for cross, so okay. It is vague, but Mr. Wixom, you can continue.
Thank you. When's the first time over the course of the weekend that you can remember that Chad came over? Do you remember what day of that weekend it was?
It was the weekend... September 20 to 23, or 19 to 22. I mean, whatever that weekend was, I just remember it was the 23rd. So
this has been 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember, you said earlier that you were there from a Friday to roughly Monday morning?
Yeah.
Do you remember which day of that weekend that you first recalled Chad coming over?
Saturday.
So when Chad came over, explain to the jury what, if any, conversation that you had with him at that time.
They talked about, anyway, that's when I'm trying to remember what the reason was coming over. I don't remember the intent for the reason, but we talked about, that's when I learned about more of their relationship.
What did you learn?
That they were that they had been together in past lives, and that they had a mission to do together.
Did they explain at that time what that mission was together?
Yes.
What was it?
To gather the 144,000.
Did they discuss any more about their personal religious beliefs along that vein?
they just talked about two terrestrial buildings that are on this earth that they can see. And
what did you understand that to mean? Did you say terrestrial or telestial? Yeah,
terrestrial.
What did you understand that to mean?
Just what it says.
Did they explain what they thought that meant?
They just said, we want you to come over and we'll show it to you. So,
come over where?
It was at some park next to a church.
So did you leave the apartment and go with them?
Well, we didn't go. We just went over there and met with them there.
So you left the apartment and met them at the park?
Yes.
Who did you meet at the park?
Chad and Lori and Melanie.
And Judge, could I have some foundation as to the date or the day of the week at the time that this took place?
Mr. Wixom, it's vague. I'll overrule the objection, but it's up to you.
Do you remember which day of the weekend specifically that you would have gone to meet them at the park?
Sunday.
When you got to the park, what happened?
We just walked around the park and they described the building.
What did they describe?
About a two-story building made of stone and arches, and that's about all I can recall.
You don't recall any specifics about the significance of the building or anything like that?
I don't.
Could you see a building the same place they were saying it was located?
No.
What did you see?
A beautiful park.
Did you perceive in any way, through your own observation, whether or not you thought Chad and Lori thought this building was there?
No.
No, you didn't perceive it?
No, I didn't perceive that they were seeing the building. Is that what you mean?
That's my question, yes.
I'm sorry. I honestly...
Judge, non-responsive.
Sorry.
Sustained.
Sir, could you tell if Chad and Lori thought the building was there?
They talked like they did, but I didn't feel any truth in it.
Did they give you any reason why they were telling you about this or trying to show you this building?
No, there was never really any reason explained. I think they were just trying to get my confidence.
What do you mean by that?
Get me familiar with what they were doing
What was your perception about why they were trying to get you familiar with what they were doing?
My perception was, at the time, I honestly didn't know what to expect. I was just kind of following along. But as I felt like they were just trying to, for me to be familiar with them and what they have and their gifts, so that I can be confident. I'm coming up with the right word. More of an assurance that what they are doing is true. Kind of like witnessing, trying to witness what they have.
Prior to walking around this park, at any time on Friday or Saturday, had you expressed anything back to Chad about any of these teachings or beliefs that were being discussed?
I just talked to him about Satan and the evil spirits. They don't have that power. It's not going to be given them. And that the gathering of 144,000, that would be done by the prophet or somebody called under his authority.
Would it be fair to say that you'd explain to them that you weren't really accepting these beliefs?
Yeah.
Now, during this weekend, at any time, did you observe anything about Chad and Lori's interaction with each other that gave you any clues about the relationship?
They were more affectionate.
In what regard?
He walked up behind her and put his arms around her.
Anything else?
I think there was a kiss on the cheek. There was some head rubbing.
Anything about that aspect of their relationship that bothered you that weekend?
Yes.
What was it that bothered you?
And he was still married to Tammy.
Did you ever confront him about that?
Yes.
What did you say to him?
I just asked him about his marriage to Tammy. If she was, was she happy? Was he happy with her? Was she a good wife? Was she a good mother?
How'd he respond?
He said, yes, she was very good. And he said that she was really, she was good.
Anything else in that conversation specifically?
Well, it's just, they said that Lori was going to be his next wife. They'd been married before and they're going to fulfill this mission together, and that he had had a dream that Tammy was going to be passing by the time he was 50 or 51.
Did you have anything further that you said to him about that?
Not that I can recall. I know we talked more, but I can't recall the, I just felt uncomfortable that you'd have a call like that and you're still married.
Now, when you say a call like that, can you explain to the jury what you mean by a call like that?
The call that he was called to gather the 144,000.
So did you have any interactions with Chad that you can recall on Sunday of that weekend? I'm sorry. I'll withdraw that. After you got back from the park, did you have any further interaction with Chad that weekend?
Yes.
What was that interaction?
He said that there was 80 acres for sale over there by his place. And I have an associate that wanted to do a development in Rexburg. And so he told me about this 80 acres that would be a good place to do it. And I just told him, I said, well, I don't have time. It's Sunday. I don't do business on Sunday. But I said, I'll go ahead and drive by it and just see if I get any vibes. And then talk to this associate of mine down in Utah about it.
What did you mean by see if you get any vibes? What did that mean?
Just to see if it felt like a good place to do a development.
As a builder, does this happen with you sometimes? Do people come?
Yes.
And then how did that interaction end when you went over and looked at the property?
Yeah, we went over there to, we followed Alex over. He took us to where it was. And we just got out and we were just looking at the property and getting ready to leave. And then Chad and a guy that he was serving with in church, a realtor named Ron, they showed up.
Any more conversation with Chad while you were there at the property?
Nah, he just wanted Ron to meet me, and then Ron wanted to go over the deal, and I just said, just send me emails on it. I don't want to talk about it today.
When you were done looking at his property, did you eventually go back to Lori's apartment?
Yes. Okay.
Did you have more conversation with Chad then at the apartment?
Not that I can recall.
At any point over this weekend, did Chad ever suggest that you would have any role in this 144,000 gathering?
Yes.
When did that occur?
I believe that was on Saturday.
And what was that conversation?
That that I was to assist him in gathering the 144,000. And that's actually when I said, well, that would be a call that would come from a prophet. And two, I knew that my life, even if that call existed, my life is not in order to be able to do something like that.
Mr. Wixom, I'm going to suggest we take our mid-afternoon break at this time, just given the time.
Certainly.
So we'll go ahead and try to come back on around quarter till, 10 till, if possible, to give the jurors enough time to take a break, and we'll come back on for remaining testimony.
Certainly, Your Honor. Thanks.
All right, please. All rise. Is the court again?
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. I believe we can have the jurors brought back in, please.
All right. Here's our prison account for you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right. We're back on the record on CR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Parties are present as well as the defense. Mr. Warwick's on the stand. I'll remind you, you're still under oath for your testimony. Mr. Wixom, continuing on direct examination, you may proceed, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Warwick, I want to draw your attention back to that Sunday afternoon and evening after you looked at the property. When you came back, did you have any other interaction at all with JJ?
No.
Did you see him in the apartment that day?
I believe he was there Sunday afternoon when we came back.
Thinking back to the last time that you saw JJ, when was it that day? What time of day was it?
It was probably about 10:30 at night.
And what do you recall seeing him doing when you last saw him?
Alex came in the front door, and JJ was, he had JJ in his arms, and he carried him upstairs and put him to bed. And JJ, was asleep. So
now, at some point in that evening, did you do a podcast?
Yeah, we did that Sunday night.
About what time of night, best you can recall?
And we started like 7:30, and we were just finishing it up when Alex brought JJ home. Okay.
And who all was at the podcast and participating?
Melanie and Lori and myself.
Was Chad there at that time?
No.
And where in the apartment did you do the podcast?
In Lori's kitchen.
So was the podcast happening before you saw Alex bring JJ in and take him upstairs?
Yes.
And then you slept in that apartment that night, correct?
Yes.
About what time did you go to bed?
It'll be 11 o'clock. 11:30, right in there.
To the best that you understood, who else was at the apartment that night?
Lori and Melanie, JJ and myself.
I don't think I asked this before, but at any point during the weekend, did you ever see Tylee at the apartment?
No.
Ever see her around anywhere?
No.
When you got up the next morning, did you have any more interactions with Lori?
Yes.
And what were those interactions?
We came downstairs. I came downstairs getting ready to leave for Pocatello. So I just went to say goodbye to Lori and JJ. And Lori was in the kitchen, and she was a little dramatic. And I just said, well, we're leaving. I'd like to say goodbye to JJ. She said, oh, he was out of control. And I had to have Alex come and get him.
So, Mr. Warwick, other than what she said, you just used the word dramatic. What did you mean by that?
She just seemed really talking fast and nervous. Just kind of, when I meant by dramatic, she explained that he climbed up on the cabinets in the fridge and got on top of the upper cabinets. And it just her explanation of how JJ was acting was what I would say was dramatic.
Was it different than your other interactions with Lori?
Yeah.
Did she say anything else about him climbing up on the cabinets, JJ?
No, she had a picture of Christ on the upper cabinet, and he said that he went up there and pushed that down.
Now, did that seem accurate to you, her account of what had happened with JJ climbing on the cabinets?
No.
Why not?
Because I didn't see any broken parts on the cabinet. I didn't see any scuffs on the fridge. And the crown on the top, if he would have got up there, that crown would have just pulled off.
Is cabinet crowning something you're familiar with as a builder?
Yes.
Did you get a close observation of the crown on the cabinet then?
Yeah.
Did you say anything about this to Lori?
No, I just said, well, I'd like, she said that he was having a possession attack. And so I said, well, I'd really like to see him. And she said, no, Alex has got him and he's taking care of him.
When she said he's having a possession attack, did she say anything else about that aspect of it?
No, she just said she just couldn't handle it.
You know, can I have just one moment, please?
Yes.
Thank you. No, I don't believe I have any more questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wixom. Mr. Pryor, cross-examination.
Good afternoon. Mr. Warwick, you previously mentioned that you were married to Melanie Gibb.
Yes.
Okay. What was the date of the marriage?
December 10th, 2020.
Close and around the time of all of these occurrences. Would that be fair?
Yes. Well, a year later, I guess.
Okay. And when did you first meet Ms. Gibb?
At a conference that at UVU.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to remember the date.
That's okay. Just take your time. We're not in a hurry.
Okay. Met her at a conference. I think it was I don't remember the year. It's probably 2012 or 2013 or 14, somewhere in there.
Okay. And then approximately when did the two of you start dating?
We started in August of 2019.
Now, at the time, you had mentioned that it sort of offended you that Mr. Daybell was married and was seeing someone, even though he was still legally married, right?
Well, in relation to the things that they were, like the beliefs that they were, didn't match up.
The beliefs didn't match up.
Well, what they were saying they were doing about their calling, and then seeing each other.
Okay.
Didn't match up.
That's inconsistent.
It's so you just have,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Nope. I'm done. Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay. So what he was preaching was inconsistent with the way he was acting. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Okay. But at the time you started dating Miss Gibb, you were still married too, weren't you?
Yeah. My divorce was just getting finaled.
Okay. But you started dating her while you were still legally married, weren't you?
Well, I made the mistake. I thought I was doing the 30-day waiver.
Okay.
For the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I didn't understand. I didn't understand that the judge needed another 60 days after the 30 days. Okay. And I'd already paid for two plane tickets to have some time with her in August with my son, Nicholas. And so we just went forward and went, and did those two things for August.
Right. So in other words, you traveled. So when you met her in August of 2019, you were already planning on going on a vacation with her. Is that right?
No, not a vacation.
What was it?
One was a Zion's called. It was called a Zion's camp. It's, it's a kind of educational camp.
Okay.
And I wanted to see how she would do with my son, Nicholas.
Okay.
And I was taking care of my son, Nicholas. That was the whole reason for the divorce, because my wife at the time, it was too much. We had him with us for several weeks. And so I don't have time. I don't know how much time you want for the details, but that was the whole motivation was.
You divorced your wife because she wasn't taking proper care of your son, Nicholas. And it's all about Nicholas, right?
No, we mutually agreed.
Okay.
We did not want a divorce, but we needed to get Nicholas out of the home that he was in because he was suffering some abuses there.
Okay.
If you'd like to go into more, I'd be happy to.
We don't have to. Okay. I don't know. I didn't want to go into this much, but I just wanted to clarify a few things that were of a concern. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about an organization called the Seven Gatherers. You're familiar with that, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And to your knowledge, your wife isn't a member of the Seven Gatherers, right?
I don't know anything about Seven Gatherers.
Okay. Thank you. Now, both of you go to various camps and conferences and meetings and speak about religious subjects. Is that fair?
Yes.
And both of you have I don't want to use the term expertise. A knowledge of certain areas of religious beliefs. Would that be fair?
Yes.
And your particular area of knowledge is in what?
It was the conversion, my conversion to Christ and his church, and the gifts and dreams and visions that came afterwards.
Okay. So when we talk about that, let's cut this down a little bit to really so these folks understand. It's really about you go to these camps in rural, these fireside chats is what they're talking about or mentioned as, correct? Fireside chats?
Yes, I would be a speaker at one of the firesides at the camp.
And the subject that you would discuss would be visions that you have that you would want to translate to them and talk to these people at these fireside chats about these various visions and experiences, premonitions that you have.
No, it was about my conversion and the faith and then the fruits of that faith.
Oh, you've never.
It was to build faith. The dreams and visions were not necessarily discussed at the camps in much detail. There's many aspects to dreams and visions about many topics. So it was about, the whole purpose was to help inspire people to seek God, to seek His truth in relationship with the Holy Ghost, bearing witness of that truth.
Okay. So the fact that you experience these visions and you have these visions, that's not necessarily what you're talking to these people about, but you do in fact have made various representations about visions that you've had over the years. Is that right?
Yes.
And some of these visions have included being invaded by foreign powers, right?
Yes.
Objection relevance, Your Honor.
It's a late objection. It's already been answered.
I'm sorry, Judge. I missed that.
I overrode the objection because it wasn't timely.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Judge. And some of these visions deal with religious matters as well.
Yes.
And that's something that you've gone to conferences to speak about as well, right?
Aspects.
Right.
It just, okay, depending on the topics and then whatever I felt right in my heart that was allowed to be.
And really, it's your experience in your LDS faith that you're trying to communicate with these people and talk about these conversions and things that you've experienced as part of your understanding of your LDS faith.
Objection, Your Honor, Rule 610.
Judge, could we approach and have a sidebar?
Yes. All right, counsel. We are back on the record on CR 22-211623. The court had a sidebar to make an evidentiary ruling outside presence of the jurors. I sustain an objection, and I'll ask the jurors to disregard the previous question. Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to continue with your cross, you may.
So, Mr. Warwick, we were on the subject of visions, and that you explained to me that these visions are only a small part of what you lecture at these fireside mountain retreats and at these conferences and at these meetings. Is that fair?
Yes.
And part of these visions is consistent with your faith, right?
Yes.
So if you were to have these various visions about certain events, that's not something that's particularly inconsistent with your faith, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And if Chad Daybell were to have visions of certain events, that's not necessarily inconsistent with his faith either, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit because I'm a little unclear. There's been some testimony about what vibrations are. Do you understand the term vibrations?
I understand the term, but I don't understand the context.
Okay, the context is in a religious context, that you get some sort of feedback that has a religious perspective to it. So in that context, do you understand or have had familiarity with that process?
Yes.
Okay, what is that experience or knowledge that you have as it relates to vibrations?
Not understanding what you're after, Mr. Pryor.
Okay, well, in a religious context, you know, have you participated in meetings or gatherings that dealt with the subject of vibrations?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Has your wife gone on seminars and spoke about, while you were there, about this theory and idea of vibrations?
Not that I recall.
Okay. All right. Then what is your wife's been, as well, has been called to a number of places to speak as well, as a guest at a number of places, correct?
Yes.
And it's similar topics, but hers has a little bit of a slant. What's her area of knowledge?
This is more about believing and overcoming unbelief.
Okay. And be more specific if you could.
Okay.
Like in what way, overcoming non-belief? What do you mean?
Well, she did health. Actually, hers was more on health, the ones that I've seen, because she does foot reflexology.
Okay.
And teaches about the body and works with the nerves through the feet.
Okay. All right.
Because a lot of the speaking things that she had done, I was not involved with. A lot of that had happened before we got together.
And the items that she would talk about?
I'd never witnessed what she spoke about.
By the way, Mr. Warwick, please don't just interject in response. in the middle of anyone else talking, it's difficult for the court reporter.
And Mr. Warwick, I'm going to be guilty of that too a couple of times. So we'll try to be patient with each other. Okay.
Okay.
So when you say before you met her, she's been speaking about religious topics before you folks even met, right?
Yes.
And you guys met again when?
Officially, we met the end of May 2019.
Okay. But unofficially, you met well before that in, what, 2012?
Yeah, she was at the line of people, and they just came up to tell me that they appreciated the talk that I gave. That was it.
And prior to May of 2019, it was she engaged in the same sort of speaking circuit. She would go to these fireside retreats, and she would do these conferences well before she ever met Chad Daybell, right?
Yeah, but she wasn't, from my understanding, she was not a speaker for years. She just kind of, they organized some podcast. I can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, and that's what they were mainly doing was podcast. I never recall I'd ever seen her speak at any of these events.
Okay. So she would organize these events, and she would sort of gather these people and bring the groups together to talk about these various religious subjects, right?
Religious and health and child, you know, raising children. It was multiple things that she's let me know that she's been doing.
Which one of you talked at these preparedness camps about the, you know what I'm talking about, these preparedness camps that you would go up to, right? And what exactly were they preparing for?
Oh, they just basically teaching you how to different ways to be self-reliant through growing food, have energy, and it was any topic that to be prepared so that, you know, when tribulations are, you're able to, you know, provide and be able to do better serve. There's all kinds of things about how to cook and how to set up camps, all kinds of.
You weren't teaching about cooking, right?
What's that?
You weren't teaching about cooking, right?
Nope.
You weren't teaching.
I didn't teach. I just gave a fireside. I shared my story of my conversion
and your visions to some extent.
To some extent, there'd be some that would come up, but not much on a camp like that.
About some of the things that you predicted that would happen in the future, right?
Not that I'd predict. Not it was what I was shown.
Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake
there. Yeah, it's not me.
Right. It's not you that are making these. They aren't predictions. They're, and please forgive me, you put the right word on it. They're premonitions about things that you saw that you believe you need to share with other people. Is that fair?
No.
They're visions of things that you see that are brought to you some way and that you believe are things that would occur in the future. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've heard the term light and dark. Are you familiar with those terms?
Yes.
Light and dark, would you agree with me that the term light and dark are synonymous with the words good and evil?
Yeah. Yes.
They could be interchanged.
Yes.
And it just depends really on your how you're brought up, what terms your family's using. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Some families will say, this is good and this is evil. Other families would say, this is light and this is dark. Would you agree with that?
I've never heard the light and dark explained that way. I've always heard that, no, they just say, this is good and evil.
Okay.
I've never heard explained the way you just said it.
Okay. But you've heard the terms light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And the light and dark term is in at least your faith, is referenced a number of times in your faith.
Yes.
We can go back and show you you're aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So that's not a foreign term to you, the term light and dark, right?
Right.
Okay. That's part of your faith, right?
It's part of life.
Right. All right. Well,
I wasn't raised, I didn't have faith, and I knew about light and dark way before faith.
Okay. And Mr. Daybell and you share at least the same faith generally in the beginning, right?
Yes.
And Mr. Daybell would be familiar with the term light and dark. He's spoken to you about that, right?
Yes.
Okay. But the area that I'm confused is the area called portals. Have you heard that term?
Yes.
Okay. And was teaching about dark portals, was that something your wife would ever do?
I don't know. I never heard her teach.
Okay. So you don't know if she's teaching anybody about a dark portal or a light portal or any kind of portal, right?
Right.
Okay. Judge, this might be a place where we can gather up again. It's up to the court. I can either go on or whatever the court prefers.
All right. I know it feels like we've had breaks today, but I'm pretty committed to keeping our jurors on the schedule that we've determined. So we are going to take our break for the day. We'll conclude and continue on with further cross tomorrow. Before we conclude, just a few things. Mr. Warwick, I'll be asking you again in the morning if you've reviewed any of this trial testimony or anything. So you're still subject to that exclusionary order. For the jurors, again, the admonishment, please don't do anything to review or investigate the case in any way. If you see any news coverage, footage, et cetera, don't try to avert your attention from that, I should say. Don't discuss the case or the evidence amongst yourselves or with anyone else. You can only do that once your deliberations have begun. And with that, I appreciate your attentiveness today. We're going to go ahead and recess for the evening, and we'll begin again tomorrow morning again at 8:30 as well. All right, we're in recess.
All right.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the buy five or more, save a dollar each sale. Simply buy five or more participating items and save a dollar each with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.